I plan to be. Now, as we think of this wonderful little passage that we've read, I want you to ask you a few questions. Have you ever made a pot out of clay? Paul said he hadn't, and I haven't done that. Maybe there's somebody here who knows. But have you played mud pies as a little child or something like that? When I was a little boy, I didn't have many toys, so I used to get clay and I would make cars, trucks, battleships and tanks and other things like this and make them out of clay. And this is where God is saying to us, I want all of you to look at your hands. Look at your hands now. God made your hands. They were the clay. He is the potter. So this is what we're thinking of. Now, we now look on to the next slide. What is it telling us? Go down to the potter's shop. We ask the question, why does God want him to go? This is Jeremiah, go down to the potter's shop. He had a word for him. It was a concrete word. Now, sometimes you will receive a word from God, from the Bible. Maybe he'll speak to you verbally. But in this case, it's a concrete word. God was going to do something in the potter's workshop, and he wanted Jeremiah to see it. And as he saw it, it would be written in his mind, and he'd never be able to forget it. And as we think of this, we're looking at what he did in that potter's shop. Okay, we'll turn on to the next one. Now, as he put the clay on the wheel and began working on it, suddenly he discovered, hey, there's a couple of stones in this. You've got to get rid of these stones. Some rubbish here. And he removes them out of it and he starts again and molds that clay. And this is what God is saying. Whatever has happened in your life in this coronavirus year, the difficulties all of us have faced, some people have suffered from the sickness, some people have died. But all of these things, God takes that clay, puts it back on the wheel and remolds it because he has a plan for your life. Notice that what he's doing, remolding, renewing our lives so that we will be Christ-like. We look at the next slide. What has it got to say to us? Here we see a potter working on clay pots. They're not all the same, all different shapes and sizes, and he plans what he wants to do. Then we go on to the next slide. And there you see two different types of pots. One is a cup from China. One there is another one with fluted edges. Different pots and pans that they make. Everyone is different because God has a plan for our life. Each one is different. You are unique and he wants to do something wonderful in your life. But ultimately, we will all, in our own unique way, be Christ-like. Let's go on and have a look what God is saying to us. Here, in this little story that he revealed to Jeremiah, if God declares a people are evil and they are to be judged around the earth, there are many, actually, leaders that are not following God. They're following their own ideas, and they've been a bit crazy over the last 12 months, this type of thing, with leadership in this world. But God is saying, if they repent of their evil, I will renew them. Isn't this wonderful? We're looking at this wonderful nature of God. He's just so gracious. He forgives us so much, and he wants to remold our life so that you and I will be Christ-like in year 2021. Let's go on to see the next part. Now, this is where we begin the story of Peter. This is just a rush through his life to see what God did with this big man. He was a big man. He was a fisherman. And he was there fishing. He'd been out all night. They hadn't caught anything. They came back and they were cleaning their nets. And along comes this man. Oh, yes, they know he's Jesus from Nazareth. He's the teacher. They haven't had much to do with him. And he asks, can he use their boat? So he sits down on the boat and he teaches the people who are following him. And he speaks to them about God and God's holiness, God's righteousness, and his wonderful nature, his loving kindness to us. And when he'd finished, he turns to Peter and he says, Peter, push the boat out and drop your nets in the water. And Peter says, hang on, no way. We fished all night and got nothing. There's no fish out here. But because you say so, I'll do it. And they got a huge, big, whole net full of fish, and they were all stunned. And Peter says, depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He suddenly realized he was in the presence of God. This was no ordinary person. Depart from me. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to leave you. I want you. I want you to be a fisher of men, all of you. And this is what he's saying right here. And this is where he begins the life. Peter is forgiven and invited to be a member of the family of God. Let's go on and see what he says to him next. Peter comes to Jesus. He's got a question. How many times do I forgive a person? He actually says, how many times do I forgive my brother? Now, his brother Andrew was in the disciple group. There's no mention of any clash between these two brothers in the discipleship group. But he says this, will I forgive him seven times? And what does Jesus say? Seven times seven. Well, that could be 77 times. It could be 490 times. The words are a little bit difficult. But forgiveness is endless. The God that we worship and love forgives, forgives, and forgives. Not just once or twice, seven times. It goes on for eternity because he loves us and is remolding us after every failure to be Christ-like. Okay, let's go on and have a look. Now, the next time we come to a situation with Peter, what is it? Jesus is talking about, I love you, and I'm going to the cross to die, and I will rise from the grave. Hey, and all of you will desert me. Hey, I won't do that, says Peter. I will die for you. Do you see, Peter really loved Jesus. Peter loved Jesus, and Jesus loved Peter. Not just mutual love for one another. And he says, I'll never desert you. And Jesus says, Peter, you will deny that you know me three times before the cock crows. That was a shock to hear that. Oh, no, no, that couldn't happen. Okay, we go on to the next slide. Okay, when the soldiers came and took Jesus away, so let's go on to see the next. And then Peter followed them. And as he went into the courtyard, suddenly a girl says, I've seen you before. You were with Jesus. No, I wasn't with Jesus. And then a little while later, another girl says, I saw you with Jesus. No, and not so. And then a man says to him, you're one of his disciples. Sure. The way you speak is Galilean speech. I am not. I don't even know him. And he cursed. And suddenly the cock crowed and he remembered the words of Jesus. He had denied the person he loved. He didn't realize how weak and sinful he was. He didn't realize that he was spiritually dead to God and that he was self-centered, thought only of himself. And suddenly he realized, I am a sinful person. I've said that before, but now I've seen how the depths of my evil. And he turned back. He went out into the darkness and he cried over his sin. Let's go on to the next slide. When Jesus had been crucified for our sin, he went to the cross there, and then 3 days later he rose from the grave. And Peter says, I'm fed up of just sitting around doing nothing, twiddling my thumbs. Let's go off and catch some fish. That was his job. He knew how to do fishing. And off they went fishing, and Jesus met them along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as they had breakfast together and a meal there of bread and fish, Jesus said to Peter, Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. 3 times he said it, simply because 3 times he denied Jesus. And 3 times Jesus challenged him. Do you love me, Peter? I love you, Peter. Do you love me? And he was forgiven by Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm recommissioning you now again to love other people, to feed them the word of God, to care for them as a shepherd. I'm commissioning you to do this task. The sin was taken away. And I died the punishment on the cross there for you. You are forgiven. And after this, the disciples received the Holy Spirit, came down from heaven and empowered their lives. Has all sin been dealt with? No, unfortunately, we still struggle with our sinful nature. And this is where you and I go through times where, like the potter's clay. Something is found that's not right, and he has to take it off the wheel, fix it all up, and then put it back and remold it and renew it for the task that God has for them. Now let's go on and see what happened after this. Peter came up to Antioch where Paul was. He was ministering there. And when Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I protested and opposed him to his face, because his conduct there, for he was blamable and he stood condemned. He had slipped back into Judaism. He'd gone back to trusting in the law, to working according to the Jewish legal system, when Jesus had forgiven us totally all of our sin. All of our failures have been dealt with. We now walk by faith, trusting in the grace of God. Paul challenged him. And these are the words of Paul's writing. And I'm going to read them to you. Listen very carefully, because this is what Paul says over here in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, we find these words. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We struggle with our sin, but we have been crucified with Christ. It's now Christ is our life. That's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life that you intended to live, I am that life. You are to be Christ-like in all you think, all you say, and all you do. I'm inviting you to live in the crucifixion, dead to yourself, but alive to God. This is what God is calling us to. Now let us ponder this in one way, another thought. Thank you, Paul. I want you to look at this poem. Empty and broken, I came back to him, a vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. God did not despair. He started again, and I bless the day God didn't throw the clay away. This is where you and I may have failed. Okay, God says, I want to start again. Let's get cracking. Let's get this problem solved. Let us get down to work. And this is what he's saying. I'm going to ask you a question. We've been talking about Peter, and I'm going to ask Peter, Peter, what do you think of this whole matter? And the verse I'm looking at is 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11. Since everything on this earth will be destroyed when Jesus returns, what kind of people should we be? We ought to live godly and holy lives, just like Jesus. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father, we come to you at this time and thank you for your gracious forgiveness of our many sins and our failures. Please forgive us that we may walk with you this day and forevermore. Amen.